Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to TMZ Live. Harvey Levin here.
Charles here.
Diddy may have even bigger problems, as if he doesn't have enough right now, because one of his very close associates has now been charged with a felony that could land him in prison for years. But there may be a caveat here, because it could be that this guy, his name is Brandon Paul, might flip on Diddy.
Yeah, because now he could be facing some serious jail time now that he's been charged with felony possession of cocaine and also marijuana candy.
So we should explain. We're going to go back to the day of the raids.
Day of the raids. As the houses, Diddy's houses are being raided, he is at Miami's Opa-locka Airport about to get on his private jet, and they are stopped by the cops there.
So here's the shot of the jet.
Yes.
Now, we'll show you. Actually, Brandon Paul is there.
He's in handcuffs there, being walked away. Diddy's in the blue pants. And the state officials took him aside.
And they've charged him with possession of cocaine and marijuana candy. Now, this carries a pretty hefty prison sentence. And the question, why is Florida jumping like this to charge this 25-year-old?
Yeah, no, this is a huge development in this case because, as you said, during that raid, officials say they found the marijuana-laced candies and the cocaine. What he's been charged with is possession of cocaine, which, according to these charging documents, is a third-degree felony, and he faces up to 5 years in prison. That's how they've charged it, as a third-degree felony. And he faces significant prison time. Now, that's important for Diddy because this ongoing criminal investigation, Brandon Paul might have information, and he might be willing to give up information to get a lighter sentence from the officials. But it's interesting here because that is a federal investigation, and this is a state law crime. So how that links up together will be interesting to see.
Well, it's easy to know. You have two law enforcement agencies, and they work with each other.
I mean, they work together for the raid.
That's right. They work together although Florida was really just accompanying the feds.
Yeah.
But it would not be unusual for the state to cut a deal with this guy in return for cooperation, even if it's not in their jurisdiction, even if it's a federal case. You should know that Brandon Paul was Diddy's assistant and spent a lot of time with him, both professionally and recreationally. They would play basketball together.
Brandon is a former college basketball player, so
But also, he was intimately involved in the inner workings of Diddy. Now, the guy's 25 years old, so it doesn't go back in time, to the beginning of Cassie and some of the other allegations that have been made here. But he knows
he's
a lot.
Around.
He knows a lot. And now and again, I'm not in any way suggesting that he can nail Diddy on certain sex trafficking or whatever else.
We don't know what it is he knows, but
whatever
the feds want to know.
And whatever was going on with Diddy, he does know because he was, we spoke to people. We have a documentary coming out Sunday, which we'll talk about in the next day or so. But in this documentary, we talk about how close Brandon Paul was to Diddy and how much he was involved in all of his dealings. And he partied with him. He did all sorts of things with him. So this could be a significant development in the federal investigation.
Yeah, and Harvey, as we pointed out, the level of the offense is important because he's facing serious time behind bars. You could imagine if this were a misdemeanor, a slap on the wrist where he's facing maybe probation or a fine, that he wouldn't be willing to give up much information in exchange for something less. But when you're facing serious time behind bars, you're a 25-year-old kid, that becomes a very real possibility here.
Yeah, probation or a fine or even, I'd say, even maybe a year in jail, then maybe not so much, but five years?
We don't know. I mean, a year for a 25-year-old is a pretty jarring experience.
But my point is that it's more than that. That when it's a much different thing to sit down with a 25-year-old and say that for the next 5 years of your life, you could be in prison. that's when you start listening to whatever else they have to say.
How likely is it that the feds have been talking to the state about these charges? Highly.
I'd wager a lot of money.
This is Mike from Philadelphia. I do think Diddy's assistant, he knows where the bodies are at. Whether he's going to tell or not is a different subject. I don't even think that he's going to tell. I think that he's going to take the fall for this, because I don't see him giving up Diddy or anything like that, because nobody pretty much survives the outpour from Diddy when he wants to, really get at you. Look at all the past instances with Kid Cudi and everybody else. So I think he's just going to take the charges and just be quiet with everything.
I get your point. Yeah. And there are a lot of people who are scared, and we actually get into this in this documentary we're talking about. But this has nothing to do with just people who happen to be around. This is a guy whose freedom is on the line. So we will see. We are going
to
move on.
Yes, to a big development for Kanye professionally.
He's moving to the Valley.
Likely, because that's where a lot of the adult film industry is operated, and he is getting into it now. We found out yesterday, broke the story, that he is in serious discussions to open his own adult film studio. I think the working title that we've heard is Yeezy Porn. But
he's
just talking to people who are already involved in the industry, and he wants to start his own studio.
And interestingly, one of the people he's talking to about this is Stormy Daniels' ex.
Yes, which is interesting because of Kanye's connections to Donald Trump, and we know the Donald Trump anyway. But yes, he's talking to this guy, Mike Maz.
Yeah, so basically he's been talking to Mike Maz because obviously that guy's got a lot of experience in the porn industry. And essentially what they're talking to him about, he's consulting him about Yeezy Porn and basically wants him to be kind of the head of this new division of Yeezy that they're telling me, at least, that it could launch as soon as summer. But again, it's Kanye, so you never know. He could change his mind tomorrow and scrap the whole thing.
We're still waiting for Vultures too.
What's really interesting about this, I believe it was 2019, Kanye did an interview. With Apple Music, and was talking about the effect porn has had on his life.
Which he's talked, even before that, has talked about how much he watched porn and that it was something that he was, I think he's even used the word addicted.
But
in 2019,
he really opened up here.
Playboy was my gateway into full-on pornography addiction. My dad had a Playboy left out at age 5. And it's affected almost every choice I made for the rest of my life from age 5 to now, having to kick the habit. And it just presents itself in the open, like it's okay. And I stand up and say, you know, it's not okay.
And I mean, so there's someone at that point in his life, he's saying, it's not okay, and I don't want anything to do with this, and I'm trying to kick the habit.
And he'd even talked about he wanted to protect his kids from it, especially his daughters.
But it's also Kanye West, and he's changed a lot since he did that interview a few years ago. And he also raps a lot about a lot of sexual things. I mean, I'm not saying this is porn, but like you see how he dresses Bianca and they go out and show a lot of skin. So it also is a little on brand that he would open up a porn studio. And I don't really think that there's that big of an issue with it, right?
Well, it might
be business.
The person it might be an issue with is Kim. Because, behind the scenes, we know that there's been a lot of rancor over how to raise the kids. She has always wanted to talk about this privately. He has gone public on some of it. But this is not something I'm sure that she's going to love. The reality is that the porn business is legal. And the idea, she's not going to go into court and say, because he's doing this
business. But the discussion between them would be like, hey, you do run your business, but
don't bring the kids.
The kids can't be exposed to it.
Right. And he's going to say they won't be, but I'm sure she's not going to love the fact that he's going to be known partly for this.
Right.
I mean, that will be an issue that they're going to have to deal with, but I don't think Kim has any recourse in court.
Hello, my name is Shelly Sweets, and I'm from Stone Mountain, Georgia. And Kanye doing an adult film porn site, I mean, I'm really shocked personally. As someone who claims to be a representative for God and, on this spiritual journey, to remain blameless clearly is not on his top priority list. And I do understand that sex sells and, you know, it's a part of his upbringing, but clearly at one point it was a generational curse that kind of he felt needed to be broken. So for him to be potentially exposing his children to this again, I am shocked. Wow, Kanye.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can make the leap that he's going to expose his children to this.
But it is interesting just how he has gone back and forth on this. And part of it, obviously, I think, is his faith. And that he felt at times in his life that he wanted to break this and be away from it. And now he seems to be embracing it.
He does.
Well, Kyle Richards got a call from her daughter, Farrah, that there was a break-in at Farrah's home. And the odd thing about this, we've seen a lot of these break-ins at celeb homes for a few years now in L.A., but this was in broad daylight, which is always a bit more frightening, I think, especially if you happen to walk in and discover this, as Farrah did. So you see Kyle and Farrah there as the sheriff's deputies arrived at her home to investigate what had gone on and what was taken.
Farrah was not there at the time of the break-in, but and that's why it's a burglary. But it is a really rattling experience for anybody to deal with that.
Absolutely. And it seems like there was some level of sophistication here because the burglars, and they forced their way in, so there was forced entry. They tried to disable security cameras by cutting the Wi-Fi cord. So obviously they would not have a signal and thus theoretically could not record. Now, it does not seem like that was effective. There is reason to suggest that this was caught on camera, possibly by multiple angles here, and obviously the police will be reviewing that footage. But yeah, to be so bold and blatant to do it in broad daylight at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday, that just, I think, ups the level of
do we know what was taken?
Harvey, a lot of valuable stuff, including expensive handbags and a lot of jewelry. In fact, we were told almost all of Farrah's jewelry was taken.
So, you know, I gotta say, the game has changed with Ring cameras. And other cameras that, you know, whoever did this, they had to go back out onto the street in a car. And the likelihood is
something
that it is. I think it is really hard, especially in metropolitan areas, to commit a burglary and do it undetected. They may have tried to cut the Wi-Fi wires there.
That would be just the cameras in the house.
Just in the house.
But there are cameras everywhere.
Exactly. So that's a hard one to get away with these days.
Hey, I'm Gabs. I'm in New York. And between calling off her engagement, her parents separating, and now her home being burglarized in broad daylight, hasn't Farrah been through enough already? I just know the agency is already on how this will affect the LA property value.
Well, this is kind of a way, just a problem all over the country right now, but LA is having its share of problems for sure.
Yeah. And everyone is okay. Kyle said that, you know, they're shaken up, but safe. Everybody's safe.
Okie doke. We're going to get to the bottom of the Sydney Sweeney Glenn Powell mystery.
Exactly. And it's coming directly from them and also some support for Sydney from one of her co-stars in Anyone But You. Obviously, we're going to tell you what Glenn had to say about all of this, the attack from Carol, I call it the attack, the verbal opinion offered by Hollywood producer Carol Baum, where she said that
that Sydney wasn't pretty and she can't act.
Right. Well, Dermot Mulroney was one of their co-stars in that rom-com, and we actually got him out yesterday. He offered, I think he was trying to be kind to Carol Baum in suggesting what maybe she meant, but ultimately he came around to this. Sydney is great. He clearly had a great experience on this movie. Here's what he had to say.
Anyone But You, I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, everybody loves that movie.
Except for one person.
Who?
Carol Baum.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't have very kind words to say about her. You're such an acclaimed, such a veteran actor. What do you think about her acting?
Oh, Sydney's the best. We had such a great time. She's so warm and likable, just like you see in the movie. Everybody's just so happy for her success.
I mean,
not everybody is.
Not everybody.
Maybe that commentator was happy for her success, regardless of that commentator's opinion about Sydney's abilities.
Yeah.
And to be judgy about how people look, that ain't cool. She's more deserving than anyone I know. She's worked her tail off since she was a kid.
Yeah.
And she is exceptional in every way.
So there's something else going on here. So we, along with many others, have covered this story about a possible off-screen romance between Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell.
It was all the buzz leading up to the film coming out.
And everybody's wondering, is Sydney's engagement going to be 86th? And he ended up breaking up with his girlfriend, and they were all chummy-chummy together, and everybody thought, are they together? Well, guess what? It was all a ploy.
It was all what a lot of people in town, because we've seen this before, thought was going on. And Glenn and Sydney are basically admitting that. Here's what Glenn, I'd say, did an interview with the New York Times. He said, the two things that you have to sell a rom-com are fun and chemistry. Sydney and I have a ton of fun together, and we have a ton of effortless chemistry.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, that's people wanting what's on the screen off the screen. And sometimes you just have to lean into it a bit, and it worked wonderfully. Sydney is very smart.
And by the way,
the reason he said Sydney is very smart,
she was a mastermind.
She was the mastermind. And she said so much to the New York Times that she was the one calling Sony and coming up with all sorts of ideas to promote the film leading up to it.
Sydney, fool us once.
And?
You know the way
yeah.
I didn't know where that one was going, but you
well,
guys are
can't
totally...
Do it. She can't do it for the next rom-com she does.
She
right.
totally can, because there have been multiple leads in movies that, you know, have potentially dated on screen as a role and then off screen as well. So maybe she will, you know. She is engaged. She is getting married.
Right.
She does have a fiance, but everyone wanted her to be with Glenn Powell. There are mixed reviews, going back to what Dermot Mulroney had said about, you know, the acting of Sydney and everything. There are mixed reviews on how this movie was... The acting was terrible.
But it did really well.
Did so well. And honestly, all the girlies in the room loved this movie. And if you just look at what we're rolling right now, a B-roll, it's just, I mean, you can't deny that they do have the chemistry on screen. But even off screen, like you guys had mentioned, they really leaned into that on the red carpets. They were always gazing at each other. And so one could hope that they were actually off screen couple.
Yeah, but
now
we
not.
Know they weren't. And so the next time.
I will not be fooled again.
Right, exactly.
The movie's on Netflix. I saw it last night. It was terrible. There were some great scenes
oh, God.
In it, but
hey,
overall,
Carol Baum,
awful.
Calm down there. Sheesh.
Wow. By the way, why didn't you watch Arnold and Sly last night? Right?
Yeah.
He already saw it because we do get advanced screenings here. He works with me on clearance, and so, you know, we watch it together.
Yeah. He didn't see it. He didn't see it.
I'm Ryan from Orange County, California, and when it comes to the Sydney Sweeney rumors, I think any press is good press. Like, if you're going to get publicity for some type of project you're on, I think she won in this case. And as far as the Carol Baum rumors go, she's young, she's attractive, she's talented, and if she can't appreciate that, she's just an old, bitter woman that needs to just lay low for a bit.
Wow.
Wow.
By the way, you should not ask some questions when you know the answer.
What are you talking
about? Why are you asking why Devin was watching anyone but you and not you, Arnold, and Sylvester Stallone?
Well, not me, but Sylvester Stallone. Oh, I know why.
I think you know the answer, right?
I get it right.
Yeah. By the way, Devin, you can watch it on Hulu because it's
all right,
now
it's
available
on
Hulu.
That's right. Arnold and Sly, rivals, friends, and icons.
Well, there is joy in Mudville, as they say, or at USC, because one of their heroes, Reggie Bush, is getting his Heisman Trophy back. It was taken away by the NCAA after an investigation that found that his mother was getting a house.
There was a car.
A car. There were a bunch of benefits. I think there's a refrigerator, a bunch of benefits that he shouldn't have gotten while he was scoring touchdown after touchdown.
And he's been appealing. And he's been appealing this for a long, long time.
Right. And he was banned from USC, and they repealed that. Now he can go back on campus. But he finally got the Heisman Trophy back today. His former teammates are celebrating. Matt Leinart, his quarterback, he was overjoyed when he heard the news.
My brother, my teammate, my boy, Reggie Bush, finally gets his Heisman Trophy back. And everybody knows how long of a road this was, over 10 years in the making. I know he fought really hard and there were a lot of hurdles to get through. Reggie deserved this. He won it fair and square. Now it's back in the house of where it belongs. I'm so proud of Reggie and his family. I know how much this means to him. Big day for USC. Big day for Reggie Bush. Let's go!
Yeah, they're fired up. It's like they're still playing. He mentioned that Reggie's been fighting for this. A lot of people have been fighting for this and believe that he deserved it. Because if you don't know, the rules have changed. And college players now, college athletes, can make money off their name, image, or likeness. It's an NIL deal. And that was one of the big reasons that they wanted him to get this,
right.
this back. And one of the people who fought very hard for him to get it back, himself a Heisman winner in 1987, NFL Hall of Famer, wide receiver for the Raiders for years and years, Tim Brown. And he's joining us right now to talk about this. Tim, welcome to TMZ Live.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, thank you guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for joining
Honor
us.
Honor to talk to you, man.
Yeah.
I'll fan out for just a moment that I enjoyed watching you for years. An amazing player. But let's get to this, your latest victory, because I know this is something you really felt was right and just.
Yeah, man. You know, I tell people the way he torched my Irish, he deserved the Heisman, right? So, but no, look, I mean, this was something from day one. I thought Reggie should have fought it and not gave the trophy back when he did. I know it was his decision to give it back, but I know why he did that. But I really wanted him to fight it then. And because once they get it in their control, you know, it's a lot harder for them to give it back. So, but I'm happy this day has happened. As you mentioned, you know, there've been a lot of guys with petitions, you know, for Heisman winners for him to get the trophy back, and I'm just happy to see that that's happening today.
So the backstory is, at the time, athletes could not benefit financially. He did, but now the rules have changed. So you could kind of look at this two ways, that at the time, he broke the rules. On the other hand, now now they've seen the light that it's unfair to do to athletes. So how do you sort all that out?
I have a group, we call ourselves Bond, Brothers of Notre Dame, right? And of course, we've been talking about this all day today. And one of the things that came up is, well, what happens to all the other guys who got punished, you know, for what they did? But I think at the same time, you know, I don't think he should have ever gave the trophy up, but I don't think this, you know, when you look at the NIL and what's happening nowadays, I mean, my God, I mean, it's like open season out there. You can do whatever you want to do. So, yeah. So if you look at a guy who got punished with something with money back in the day, I don't know how you can justify that at this particular time.
I'll admit my initial reaction when I saw that he got it back, and I think it is a good thing that the NCAA has done. I mean, the college athletes, the universities benefit so much financially. It's fair that they are now able to make
share the
money.
Yeah.
But like we said, the rules were what they were back then. And no one's saying that it wasn't like they were fighting it and saying those benefits didn't happen. So it just seems weird. If he's going to get the Heisman back, well, then shouldn't USC also get that championship back? And all of those things should go away, because the only reason it was vacated is because of
that rule,
the rules violations.
That's been my point since the day I heard about NIL, right? So now you're saying, NCAA, that anybody who took money, you can get money now. If you took money in the past, then what does that mean? How can you now say to people, oh, well, you know, because it was illegal back in the day, it, you know, today it is legal and you can get it done. It just seems to me that everybody who was punished in the past should have some day. You know, that they are at least, you know, pardoned by the NCAA or something's good is said about them, because I think it's unfair that you criminalize people back in the day for the same thing that kids are, you know, getting on a regular basis nowadays.
You know, it's sort of like we were talking about this in our morning meeting today. It's sort of like marijuana, that there's this big push now that people who serve time, who are in jail, who have a record, that they should expunge all of that because the laws are changing and people realize they were draconian back then. So I guess the question, does this end it, or now are there going to be moves,
other things
to get other people whole who had their, you know, part of their career stripped away because of it?
Harvey, I chuckled when you started with the weed, because on our little thread with my bud brother, that came up too, right? what are they going to do about all these brothers with the weed? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, exactly.
But yeah, you know, I think it's a situation, man, where the NCAA is really keep putting themselves in a pickle after a pickle, you know, because you didn't do things back in the day. Now you're allowing things to happen. And now what's going to happen, the repercussions of everything that's happening now, is just going to be too tough, I believe, for them to really handle the situation the way they want to handle it.
I have to commend you, Tim, the fact that for people who don't know, if you're not a huge college football fan, the fact that you were fighting so hard for Reggie Bush, who was a USC great, and you were a Notre Dame great, and they are fierce rivals, bitter rivals, just shows that you just wanted what you felt was right, and college rivalries aside, which is not always an easy thing to put aside. So That was really...
You're right about that. Especially with the Trojans. But...
I'm wondering how the brothers of Notre Dame really felt about you fighting for a USC guy this hard.
Yeah, look, they understand the bun. I mean, that's why we got the bun. They understand the bond of being football players, right? And certainly when you win an award like that, man, it's really special for life. And to have things that happen the way it happened for him just doesn't seem to be right.
Well, Tim, it is an honor having you on. We so appreciate the time.
And also think it's very classy that you didn't put your Heisman right up front. We can see it above you, though. We see it on that top shelf.
Little things up there, what are you talking
those
about?
Little things, yeah. Well deserved, man. Thanks so much for being with us, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. Okay, he's great.
Yeah, he was great.
Boy, you fanboyed out there. Okay.
He's a great player.
We are going to
All right, break. When we come back, Kim Zolciak's daughter is infuriated at her mother because of something that she says Kim did that made some people believe that Croy had passed away.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to TMZ Live. Croy Bierman and Kim Zolciak's divorce, which is ongoing, has been...
And bitter.
Incredibly bitter. And we know that they have been going at each other for months now. Well, now Kim has a new person she's going up against. That would be her daughter, Ariana. Because Ariana is really ticked about something Kim did on social media. She put up a post that had a photo of herself and Croy with a broken heart emoji and RIP. Now, the link in bio always makes you think, oh, there's something she's selling here. Well, the point is, a lot of people saw that.
And thought he was dead.
And thought that Croy had passed on. And Ariana is livid at her mother.
You guys, I had about a damn heart attack when I went on my Instagram. I physically don't have it. The DMs that I'm getting as well, like before I even saw the story. And I'm like... Yeah, that. Secondhand embarrassment stays through the roof. Let's see what's coming next week. I love you, but I just, like, my heart, like, tugging, like, no.
Just to clarify, Croy Bierman is not dead. what Kim Zolciak posted was clickbait. Fake news, literally.
I'm curious, what was the link in bio? What was
she
getting people to click on?
So it goes to some weirdo website. It has nothing to do with Croy whatsoever. It's bizarre. By the way, this is not the first time Kim has posted fake news and hit the whole link in bio thing. I suspect it's for money. She's probably doing this from some weirdo website saying, we'll pay you to like link to our website with like fake news. It's abhorrent. It's shameful. And yet Kim Zolciak has no shame because she's broke right now. That's just the reality. She's broke and needs money. And unfortunately for Ariana, this is more of the same. Like, get ready for more secondhand embarrassment because it's going to keep on coming.
Let your kids in on the deal before you post it, right? Instead of giving them a heart attack.
That would be the responsible thing to do. Like, hey, just so you know, Croy's not actually dead, but I'm going to say he's dead. So heads up. on that, but that didn't happen. So, there you go.
Do we have any idea? Did Croy know this was going on, or was it?
Yeah, hopefully, Croy knew that she was going
to
do it.
Or was this all Kim? I don't know the answer to that.
It was all Kim. He has no attachment to this whatsoever.
And they're still living under the same roof.
Yeah, living is.
I mean, this
desperate
is
desperate times
crazy.
Call for desperate measures, and this certainly screams desperate. So
crazy.
There you go.
Well, I at the very least, hope she got a nice payday out of it. I hope. Going to pay off some of the debts.
Some of the massive debts.
Hey, Antoine Houston here. I feel like Ariana has every right to feel this secondhand embarrassment because this is not the first time Kim has done this. She recently posted that she was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and she posted that her daughter, Brielle, was pregnant a couple of weeks ago for this clickbait situation. So if I was Ariana, I would be fed up too. It's like, what more can you do? She has every right to feel this way.
This is just crazy.
But this is what happened, right? Desperate times, call for desperate measures, but you gotta let the people
in
the house.
Why don't they just declare bankruptcy? I mean, I don't don't understand that at this point.
I know. We've been expecting it for months.
But it hasn't happened, and they're not digging themselves out of this hole, and they're just causing damage.
In order to declare bankruptcy, it's more than just saying it. You can't just say, I declare bankruptcy. You actually have to go file bankruptcy.
Yeah,
you
go
to bankruptcy court. Yeah, there you go.
But we're not playing Monopoly. I mean, you can't just say it.
Why? Yeah, right, you can't say bankrupt. You can't do that. Okay, we're gonna move on.
Yes, moving on to Anne Hathaway and the revelation she has made about early in her career, something she says she had to go through. The update, what we're going to tell you in a moment, is how the people she worked with early in her career are kind of scratching their heads because they don't know.
Well, they're saying it's not true.
Nobody's saying that they don't believe Anne. They're just saying, look, we never saw this. But everyone's stopping short of saying we don't believe her. What Anne Hathaway said in an interview with V magazine, she said, I was told, this was after she'd been cast for a film. She said, I was told, we have 10 guys coming today and you're cast. Aren't you excited to make out with all of them? And I thought, is there something wrong with me? Because I wasn't excited. I thought it sounded gross. She goes on to describe that basically they had, she didn't say what movie it was. So it sort of left people playing this guessing game. Well, wait
what
a second.
What movie?
It was early 2000s. Right. It, clearly some sort of romantic role. She's got 10 guys she's got to make out with. Well, we talked to some of the people involved in some of her bigger movies that certainly everyone was sort of wondering. They don't know what she's talking about because it didn't happen on their film.
Everyone's trying to figure out what movie this was, but we can rule a couple out. We can rule out Brokeback Mountain, and we can also rule out Princess Diaries. So at least we know that those aren't in the mix. We spoke to the casting directors who said that they didn't witness anything like this. And my biggest question is, if what Anne's saying is true, why would Anne have to be the one who is making out with 10 guys? Why don't they have the 10 guys make out with someone else? Why does she need to be the person?
Chemistry.
Well, I guess chemistry.
You would argue chemistry.
The test of her chemistry. And that was the point. That's what Anne described it as. Her point she was
Broke
making.
Brokeback Mountain makes no sense, by the way.
Right.
I mean, I was just saying, it's not what happened in Brokeback Mountain. But anywho.
Yeah, she said, look, I'm not saying that my career was destroyed by this. She just says, we've gotten better. She's trying to make the point that the industry is better now and that sort of thing wouldn't happen today. But some of the casting directors, particularly Princess Diaries that we spoke to, they said they weren't unaware of that sort of thing. Even it didn't happen on their film, but they also said they'd never heard of that being done before.
But
either.
We've also, I mean, to be fair to Anne, there have been a million stories over decades about casting couches, casting auditions, telling people to do things.
So this wasn't a casting couch situation because she was already.
It's not a casting couch situation, but in casting, the casting industry, there have been a lot of issues. I think it's gotten a lot better in the last decade or so, but there were legendary stories about that.
Yeah, and that was really the overall point Anne was trying to make. She said, look, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just pointing out things were like this. They're better now, and that's good.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I'm from Boston. So first of all, I just want to say that I 100% agree with or believe Anne Hathaway. Like, there's no reason for her to lie about this. It would just be a weird thing to lie about. And I also think no casting director is going to admit that it happened during their movie. They're obviously going to deny it. So I don't think we're ever going to really find out which movie it was from. But I think what she said is correct, and that happened a lot in the early 2000s, especially with females in that industry.
2000s and before,
yes,
I mean, for many, many decades.
So I learned something about Jon Bon Jovi, actually about his family. I did not know that his son is an aspiring actor. And actually, that's kind of what John is complaining about, because he did an interview recently where he talked about his son, by the way, you know that his son, did they get married already or are they just engaged?
They're engaged.
Engaged.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Engaged to Millie Bobby Brown. And Jake is also trying to get into acting, just like his fiance.
But his dad says there is a rub here, and it has to do with COVID in a way.
Yeah, so apparently Jake was trying to get into acting even before COVID, but things changed. This is what John said in the interview. He said, my son is a young aspiring actor. He would have that magic when he walked into a room for an audition. But he came up during COVID, and now everything is on Zoom. All these casting agents are missing out on the personality of the young actor winning your heart, not just reading your lines.
So here's my issue. I got a whole bunch of things about this. Mm-hmm. Number one, he's got an advantage because of his famous family and his girlfriend, his fiance. Number two, everybody is on a level playing field when they're on COVID. And I get the fact that
there is something to
there is something about walking in if you've got that kind of
je ne sais quoi.
Thank you.
Yes.
But that
French translation.
But that said, I remember during COVID, Lucas Gage, who ended up getting a role, was in his apartment and somebody was saying, you have a crappy apartment, the casting director. And Lucas actually came back at him. And I think that helped Lucas land a role in...
Because he did show some personality.
He showed some personality.
Right.
So it is possible
to do. It is possible, but I agree with him that it's harder. But you're right, that everybody was on that in that
right.
situation.
And
so.
Also, it makes more sense because he's auditioning for like film and TV, like movie and film roles. You want to be charismatic on camera. If you can't show your personality or stand out while you're on a camera, then why would they want to put you in their movie or their TV show?
Yeah, that's all true. And then there's the other.
Oh my God, can you go back to that other shot?
You want to look at the
I
car.
I want that car so badly.
Yeah,
that's my favorite car ever.
T-Bird.
It's a 57 T-Bird, a 56 or 57 T-Bird.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
All right, here we go. We're done with the side.
I'm done.
Side story.
So I want to ask you something. I just let's get real for a second. It's great that Jon Bon Jovi loves his son and is sticking up for him.
Yes,
but when
this is the part I was going to say.
When you're a famous dad and your son has a famous girlfriend, doesn't it feel a little, really?
Like to complaining that he's not getting a fair shot.
Yeah.
And look, I take Jon at his word that Jake has this magic.
Right.
But you also go, well, you're his dad. Of course you believe that he has the magic. I haven't seen what he's talking about, so I have no idea.
Unless what he's saying is he's not really talking to us. He's talking to casting directors saying, bring this kid in. So
right.
maybe that's what he's doing.
Yeah, could be.
Well, this is like the subliminal kind of hint, like, oh, nobody's giving this kid a chance, and he's so great. Now, if you're a casting director and you see his name auditioning, you're going to pay more attention now, right?
Right. That's true. I mean, that's absolutely true. And plus, you could get tickets to the concert.
Hi, I'm Shamika from Charlotte, and I agree, like, your parents are always going to think you're the greatest thing next to a piece of bread, but I think that he should be able to come across the camera if he's got that pizzazz or whatever, mm-hmm. it should translate from whether he's behind a camera or walking into a room. So it sounds like he maybe needs to work on that Zoom presence a little bit, but he's got the looks for sure.
I love the Zoom presence. That's a thing now. Zoom presence. Help me out here.
He's got that Zoom presence.
Je
ne sais quoi.
Ah, guy, I have such problems with that. Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Okay.
I don't bite my head off. I'm going to say something and you're going to bite my head off. Poor Kim Kardashian. I really do feel badly for her because I feel like she posted something to wish a friend happy birthday, posted a bunch of photos, and one of the photos in the group that she posted included Karlie Kloss.
Now, Karlie Kloss,
by the way,
famously.
They're wishing a happy birthday to the guy in the photo, who's not famous to us, but anyway.
So Karlie Kloss was famously a member of Taylor Swift's squad, is no longer part of the squad, but was part of the squad. And Kim is in a feud, whether she believes it or not, with Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is in a feud with her.
Well,
yeah.
Kim is fired back at her too. So I think it's mutual. They don't like each other.
And so a lot of people think that her posting of that photo was meant as a dig at Taylor. Or it's a photo she has with that guy.
I get it.
To wish him a happy birthday.
But it's on the heels of Taylor coming out with that song where she clearly was going after Kim a week ago.
Hi, it's me, most people. I am most people. And I do believe that this was intentional on Kim Kardashian's part. And let me tell you why.
Okay,
this
most people.
This was not a part. This was not a recent photo. This is from 2022 that she posted.
I did not know that.
But it's,
Wait, you didn't say that.
But that
part.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Hi, my name's Christina. I'm from Coquitlam, BC, Canada. And I'm kind of torn on this a little bit. I think, people can really pick apart and grab what they think is something going on. But, she did pick that one picture. So it is, I'm really torn on that one. But, fans can really... Little things.
Yeah. You left out the 2000.
How many other?
You left out that it was two years ago.
Ms. Most People, how many other photos did she post with this guy? Because it wasn't just that one.
Correct. It was a scrolly on her Instagram story. However, she could have left that one out. She knows
Absolutely.
What she's doing. She's stirring the pot. It's intentional, Charles. I'm so sorry that you're wrong this time.
By the way, It's even more suspicious because there were a bunch of them and she could have easily left that out. Anywho, what else you guys want to talk about?
Hey guys, it's Kyle David here from New Brunswick, Canada. So let's talk about Diddy and his alleged drug mule Brendan Paul for 1 second, okay? Obviously, Brendan Paul, sketchy guy. I'm sure he knows intimate knowledge of the inner workings of the Diddyverse, let's say. But the question really is a one count felony charge enough for him to spill?
If you found out you were facing 2 years in prison, I mean, you wouldn't say, eh, that's a big deal, right?
If I was in his position, I'd be thinking, you know, Diddy is a music mogul worth billions of dollars. He knows the financial or the court troubles. What's the trouble he's going to have with Diddy?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But he'll cut it. If the feds, if they come to him and the state says, we'll drop the charges, but you got to cooperate.
Right.
That's a hard one. I mean, this is let's make a deal. Yeah. One more.
Hi, Gloria, New Jersey. How about Kanye West showing us this range of his, going from Sunday services to having a school and now Yeezy porn? Wow, what range, Kanye?
What range?
That's one way to put it, Gloria.
That's funny. That is funny.
President Biden out on the campaign trail, made a stop, talked to some union members today, and clearly had a teleprompter. Sometimes it's hard in a teleprompter, not that we have one, so I wouldn't know this, but I've worked at news stations where they do use
them. And I read many of them, and I got to say, sometimes you just get caught up in the words,
and
don't
you
know when to
more
stop.
Than you're supposed to. Watch what happened.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
I swear to God, I've watched it. It's a very short clip. I've watched it probably 20 times this morning. If you've seen Anchorman and you know the whole thing where they start reading all the stuff that's in brackets. Have you ever read the stuff that's in the brackets when you were doing the news?
I don't remember having made that mistake. I made others, but I don't remember making
it. I've worked with anchors who read the instructions that are there for the director.
Anyway.
And they start reading it. Yep. It happens.
Okay. We will see you tomorrow. Have a good day of credits fade to black.